Hey Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and this episode of Geekscape is actually our live Geekscape episode from Los Angeles Comic Con that happened this past weekend. What an amazing weekend, as you're about to hear. We had a big contingent of Geekscape podcasters there, everyone pretty much from Los Angeles. Was there either moderating a panel or on panels. It was a very busy weekend and a very fruitful weekend and a really cool weekend for Geekscape. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this one. There's some really fun stuff that comes from the Geekscape team at this panel. It's a lot of fun to see Geekscape grow every year at LA Comic Con. There's a lot of stuff happening in the Geekscape network this week. We've got our Big Brothers Big Sisters fundraiser happening this Friday the 9th. And that one is going to be great. If you can, please check it out live. Click the donation button. That's going to be running all day on December 9th. And the best way to find it is go to our Twitch channel, our YouTube channel, or our Facebook channels. We've got pretty much the whole network streaming live. Matt Kelly has really put together a great event, and it's been great every year. This is our third annual, and I think we're going to hit our mark again. So make sure we do. Go and check it out. Another little note on my end, it is my birthday as of recording and releasing this. As my gift to you, I've released El Rey. That's the short film that I made back when I was 27 years old. I never edited it. It kind of ripped my heart out. I was going through a major crisis of confidence, never finished the movie. And then during the pandemic, the actress reached out to me and said, "Hey, Jonathan, I'm 15 years older than I was when we shot this movie. Am I going to see it finished before I die?" And that kind of lit the fire into my butt. I was like, I'm not doing anything else. I guess I'll finish El Rey. So my good friend Annie Rattinger and I, we got together. The actress had actually cut together a rough cut. It was really good. We got the rough cut from her. We finished it up. We shot an extra scene to work as glue in the movie, and it played a year of festivals. So super happy. So hopefully you enjoy it. Go to the Geekscape TV YouTube channel and watch El Rey, which is now out. So as I said, there's lots of Geekscape stuff coming at you. We had some amazing panels. Some of those are going to be right here on this feed. So if you don't want to miss them, please press that subscribe button. If you don't want your friends to miss them, please hit that share button. Leaving a comment, all those things are always very, very helpful. For now, sit back, enjoy the live Geekscape panel from Los Angeles Comic Con 2022. You guys ready to go with the hottest panel in LA?
Look at this giant audience.
All right, LA Comic Con. This is Geekscape Live. I know. We have cut the room in half from last year and quadrupled the audience from last year because, as I remember, it was our good buddies Joey and Alan from the Nerd World Order podcast were our audience last year, and now we've got a couple more. And maybe the reason is that we've expanded the Geekscape network since then. We've added the folks at the $2 late fee. We've got Christian Blatt back on board doing a podcast.
Hello, hello.
We've got Garrett Briones every week having a new podcast idea. And but you had a panel here. And I think Geekscape's all about creating opportunities. Miss Heidi Cox London is back on the
professionally,
panel.
Professionally, Miss Heidi Cox.
She is now a London. And I got to tell you, yesterday I paid our therapist. And I Venmo our therapist. So let's start with that, Geekscapist. We're going to do a wrap-up of Comic-Con. But yesterday I was like, oh, I'm Venmoing some people. I got to Venmo our therapist. And I wrote, the Londons and the date of the therapy session. And they wrote back in an email like, "Aw, the Londons." And that's the thing we didn't have last year when that's we proposed true. On stage. When I proposed on stage.
When you emceed your proposal.
I emceed my proposal. Yeah. And Geekscape is, I got to tell you, yesterday I was backstage after recording $2 Late Fee. And I'd love to hear soon from the $2 Late Fee guys talking about, I want to hear from everybody on the Geekscape Network about how their con's been. Because this is the wrap up of LA Comic Con for the folks at home who weren't there. Yesterday, I got to meet Joe Dante, which is phenomenal. Thanks to you guys.
And get that sign.
But you knew Joe Dante, right?
Joe Dante on Geekscape digitally over Zoom, but
digitally.
Being able to give him a hug and be like, "Thank you for Erie, Indiana. Thank you for Gremlins. Thank you for every," and be able to ardently like tell him like, "No, this is why, like the Die Hard Christmas movie bit is tired and doesn't even work, and it's all about Gremlins."
Good thing Katie's not here because she'd fight you on that.
Well, you know what? Katie was going to come, yeah. But... She's listed here to be my co-host, but Katie had a knee injury and is actually not able to make it.
You're representing all women.
Right? Bless you, Katie.
You
love
are.
You. Miss
that,
you.
That crowbar behind you is a little obvious.
But Katie's blood the crowbar I used yeah. to
oh,
ankle
no.
Katie.
Too soon.
Heidi and I went downstairs and backstage to the main stage just to see Giancarlo. Esposito, after he got off stage with Ming-Na and be able to see him after a year after our engagement. And what did he say, Heidi? I think you talked to Giancarlo more than I did. What did he say when we were sitting there backstage?
It was really sweet because, like, you know, when you're here, a lot of celebrities, they kind of have their, you kind of got to put a little bit of a wall up to set your boundaries and stuff. And he hugged me backstage, but then we went to sit in the green room and he came in there. And he's just sitting at his table, and he turned and looked at us, and he smiled. And I was like, "Oh!" And he's like, "Such a cute couple. I'm so glad y'all are here." And I got to go over and talk to him a little more about how we had seen Breaking Bad, but we just started watching Better Call Saul, and how, like, whenever his name comes up in credits, I'm like, "Aw, Gus is so sweet."
There was one scene where he puts a bag around a dude's head and like strangulates him to death, yeah. And I was like,
"Oh,
that's our guy sitting there killing
He's so
someone."
Nice.
Oh, I hope he doesn't shoot all of them. I mean, save some for the next scene.
Oh, we have a lady who walked in. Huzzah! Yeah. I was worried I was the only woman in here.
That's the main stage has been amazing, and Geekscapists who are listening to this on the podcast feed, I'm putting all that stuff up on the feed. And thank you to people like Garrett Briones for helping me record some of that stuff. And get that for y'all.
We love Garrett.
Thank you, Garrett.
I would love to hear from Zach and Dustin. Y'all say that I loved the panel yesterday.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Geekscape is subscribed to $2 Late Fee because.
Yeah, sign up for us.
This live episode, Joe Dante, was so good. And he had so many amazing stories about making his films.
He did.
But you said something that happened about an hour ago.
So yesterday was great. Had a great time with Joe Dante. He's a legend. Doesn't get the appreciation that he deserves, but we'll give it to him. And we did an episode earlier this year on a very obscure movie called Megaforce, and with a guy named Barry Bostwick, who is the lead actor in it. And there's a guy named Bob Lindemeyer, who is directing a documentary about Megaforce, and it's more of like a buddy tale, like this father-son kind of relationship. We got to meet him. He gave us an official Megaforce patch. Got to sit on the bike from Megaforce and had a wonderful discussion with him about the movie. Got to see some footage that is yet to be aired. It looks phenomenal. If you've never seen Megaforce, it's worth
watching. He's doing Life After Megaforce. You guys have heard of like Life After
Flash
and Life After
Flight of the Navigator.
All the other Life After series. This is sort of part of that.
I'll finish your thoughts.
Yes, thank you.
Words.
Very much. But yeah, Bob's last name is Lindemeyer, right?
Lindemeyer, yeah.
We got it right.
You got to sit on the bike, and were you all filmed for the documentary?
Well, so we're talking about that because he's in the process of, we can't really share what there's a piece, there's going to be a piece with fans, quote unquote fans in it. We will be in that as well.
Please, you don't have to talk to me.
There will be. He's working on some stuff that still kind of top secret. We will be worked into this documentary in some way. And again, if you've never seen Megaforce, it is wild. It's basically a live action G.I. Joe episode.
I think my goal with Geekscape is just to get the different podcasters in documentaries. Like Matt Kelly was in the Wolfman Has Nards.
He sure was.
Documentary about, about the Monster Squad. Yep. And you just see Matt Kelly just bust out and start talking horror movies. He loves the horror movies. Hopefully we get all the Geekscapists into various documentaries.
Well, I will tell you one thing that stood out to me over this weekend. Besides that, and I would love to be, I would love that if we're all in documentaries at some point, but Diallo's panel was so phenomenal.
I did not get a chance to watch it, Diallo. Can you talk to me about that panel?
Yeah, I felt very abandoned.
We were with LeVar.
We were there with you.
No. I had to moderate LeVar Burton.
Yeah. My panel was called Black Futurism, and we were discussing representation of black characters in... black characters in TV, film, car animation, both in front of and behind the camera. LeVar Burton would have been a good guest on that panel.
He would have been a great guest.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. But I had the very first black animator at Disney on my panel, Floyd Norman. And I also had Larry Houston, who's most people know him from like X-Men animated cartoon in the 90s, but G.I. Joe, He-Man, many other things. So, also Floyd's wife, Adrienne Houston, came up and she spoke as well. She actually kind of was like...
She blew the roof off.
Yeah, she...
What was her story?
She was dropping truth bombs. So she, I think she might currently be working for Disney, but she was just kind of telling it like it is. So we were, we got into this conversation about how companies are approaching representation, and in my view, sometimes it feels like they're approaching it from like a checklist. And, I brought up the idea of, I'd rather see it come from the ground up, but it feels like it's coming from the top down. And she gave a lot of stories that just verified that. Like, sometimes she's being directed to do certain things that make no sense. And she said there's a lot of push. She has a lot of pushback that she gives. Like, she's the kind of person that will give pushback.
Well, she's a former Black Panther,
too. Yeah, she's a former Black Panther. She didn't even get into that. Yeah. Like, we found that out towards the end, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it turned out it was a really good conversation. I really appreciated them being on the panel. And also, thank you for... allowing that panel to happen.
Of course. I mean, I think I said this on the podcasting panel that we're putting up on the feed about starting a podcast and beginning a podcast. And, Alan from the Nerd World Order podcast is on that panel with us. And Alan, again, is somebody who I think just listened to the podcast off and on I don't even know how long, Alan. And you and Joey, your co-host, were in the room last year, and we became friends talking just online for the last year. And then when it came time to talking about podcasts and putting together a how-to podcast panel, I said, let's get Alan on it, because Alan has a different history with podcasting than I do, probably has a different audience than I do. And I think that was a great panel, and Geekscapists, for people here in the panel room who are listening to this, if you want to subscribe to Geekscape, that panel will be up on the feed. Look for it, because I think Alan was saying some really great stuff. I think ultimately... what I wanted to do with Geekscape and this panel, having you all on here in this room, is just create opportunities for people. Like, I can go this alone, you know what I mean? And I think podcasting and film or creative endeavors, like, I think a lot of people get in it to tell their story or to, emote, or I gotta sing my song. And I think that'll get me about 10 yards down the field. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that works. And looking back the last 16 years and being able to, have Matt Kelly make a bit of a living doing this, not a great living, but like Matt's working and Matt's loving it and Matt's passionate about it and he's keeping my fire lit because he's like, come on, Jonathan, look at all the good things you've done. But being able to, have Diallo meet people or Barrett Briones, having Garrett Briones, meet Burke from the Hollywood writer that we had who wrote Lost in Space and you know, a ton of different adaptation projects. Just getting y'all to meet people and using the platform to meet people or get panels in front, you know, it's great. That's what it's about.
Well, like, one thing I appreciate about you and this is, like, so I'm not a podcaster. Like, I'm a friend of the show.
We're working on it.
Yeah. I'm more of a friend of the show. And I have a background just, like, in, like, education, and I come from more of a, like, analysis of things. So when I have the opportunity to do a panel that is actually, like, more suited for what I like to do, to have those kind of conversations that I think look at things critically, above and beneath, so that it just gives me the opportunity to do that. I still wouldn't want to do that every week, but I like to write about that stuff, but doing a podcast isn't quite my thing. But getting the opportunity to have a panel and come up and talk about those things and present these ideas, because it got broadcasted out to Disney, to to, who does Warcraft? Blizzard got broadcast out to them
because of the people involved in the panel. They were like, "Hey,
They were able to like, some people came specifically because they got alerted to that panel, and then they got to see something that you don't normally see in cons. Like, a lot of times it's like, come meet so and so, but like, I like to like talk about, like, last year you had the fantasy panel that I spoke on. I like to talk about that." Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff, and talk about, like, why is something the way it is. So.
Yeah, we try not to do too much surface at Geekscape, and I think that's true for all your shows, is, like, you want to get in the guts of the thing. And Keith Trailins, who used to run LA Comic Con and has been on the show many times, and I love you, Keith, I just remember him giving me the best compliment about Geekscape. He's like, y'all are of something, not about something. Y'all are a part of it, not just covering it. And I think this would have died a long time ago if we were just about something, because commentary is not creation. It's commentary. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't sustain me very long, because this girl sitting next to me can tell you, my attention doesn't hold very long. Like, I'm a little too crazy. Christian, how did your panel go, man?
Well, my panel was actually right after yours, and I got the opportunity to hear, you know, some interesting stuff. You know, you talked, I actually forget now what the wife's name of the animator was, Adrian. And she, you know, she just talked about, I guess she was like on her way out with Disney, so she was very free and very
burn
open.
It down,
yeah,
baby.
And it was like, they'll tell me, hey, take this white character and make them a black character, and she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Why don't you draw a new character? And I was just like, yeah, that's great. And you know, I wouldn't have heard that if I hadn't seen you earlier, and then also, like, well, my panel's right after it. And then I talked to Larry Houston, because he talked about working on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which was like, that was my gateway drug into all of this. Super Friends and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, one of them was a better show than the other, let's not say which one. But I was just like, I thanked him for the episode of that show that's still my favorite. It's called Seven Little Superheroes. It's like the one with, like, everybody's in it, and like the Chameleon's like trying, you know, it was like the one big crossover they had of that,
like,
show.
The Secret War of, like,
basically, Spider-Man, yeah, because, like, before there was a Secret Wars in the comic, this was like, it was more like Contest of Champions. And so I got a chance to tell him. Yeah, thank you. So I had a moment to say, like, hey, thanks for that. I still love that episode. I've watched it with my kids. My daughter's very scared of Dr. Doom, so she's not a big fan of Spider-Man.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, right. I know, exactly. He should be. But my panel was fun, but there was the tech issue I told Jonathan about that I have about 30 minutes of it, so that'll be enough to use it. But the battery's just, like, kicked out. But the guy who was helping us in that room, he was able to figure out how I could get any of it, because I was just like, yeah, the plug-in didn't sound right, and he, like, you know, he took the time. So the staff here was a lot more helpful than, you know, I wasn't sure if they were doing
good. In years past, for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure there was going to be anyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So so it was great, and I think the panel, we had a great conversation. It was about a very specific run of Black Panther that Christopher Priest wrote in about the year 2000. And, you know, that'll be up as a Geekscape Book Club later in December. I have to record some wraparounds. It's all right, because the part that we lost was like about another story that we kind of ran out of time to talk about, so it's actually probably going to be better for the home audience. But the best part was this little boy who, I don't know, maybe he was like, you know, somewhere between 8 and 10, and his mom came in, and they were all decked out. Like, he was decked out like Black Panther. He had the costume, and he and his mom sat there, and I'm like, I don't know if this is interesting for them at all, but this kid, like, loves Black Panther so much. He's like, I just want to hear people talk about it. And there it wasn't a big crowd. Not like we have here. Literally. Yeah. Not like we have here.
I think
here.
That's important. That's
yeah. Right. But it was just like, I was just like, oh, if it was just the two of them in here, and he stayed, I was just like, he's going to get bored, isn't he? But it's just, I loved seeing that, you know?
Yeah, that tech hero in that room, because yeah. $2 late fee followed you up, and I had told Zach, like, I have time to get, like, I'll have enough time to get back and record $2 late fee. Of course I wanted to meet Joe Dante. Please, like, that guy's a hero of mine. And he is as nice as I thought he was. And so I start recording, and Garrett has been kind of monitoring the recordings of the main stage panels, and I get back to the recorder, and it's like surprisingly empty, or the battery's almost dead, and I get it, and I'm like, okay, well, at least he recorded that one. I got fresh batteries. I put fresh batteries in it because there's no way I'm not going to record this Joe Dante episode. And I start recording. I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, cool. Everything's cool. I'm listening to it on the headphones. This sounds great. And then 15, 20 minutes in, it starts saying low battery. And these are new batteries. And I'm like, what the F? Sometimes they're just duds. And I started freaking out, and I'm trying not to distract Zach. It's not their problem. All they can do is make their panel. And I take out my laptop, and I start recording just like room, kind of the room. I have it near a speaker, but I put the headphones in. It's not going to be great, but if the thing craps out, at least I have this as a backup. And that guy who was running that panel room takes out a sequence of like three cables, MacGyvers them together, puts them into the board, and then runs them to a USB, and I can record it flawlessly into my computer. And so even if the original had crapped out, I would have had the rest of it in a really nice version. Luckily, nothing ever happened. It was all for naught. The recording was great. You'll hear it on a future episode of $2 Late Fee. But man, was I sweating bullets that I was going to fail Zach and Dustin on that one.
Well, I got to, you know, I know, I like to use the term glaze your donut. I think it's really fun.
What is that?
It's like when someone compliments you, they put glaze on the donut, you know?
It's different in the porn world.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like...
No, but that's the whole point of why I say it. I think it's great.
One of Zach's favorite movies.
That's why you say it?
I do. Not to glaze your donut, but you know, this is our first experience here at LA Comic Con, and what a great experience it was. And thank you for being so on top of everything.
And, it's fun.
But you know, again, Jonathan is a really great person to work with because he's so flexible. You compliment the hell out of us, which makes us feel good, strokes our ego, and I appreciate that immensely. You know, and knowing, having someone kind of man the machine while we're doing our thing was very comforting. And, you know, you were in the corner, like, giving us a thumbs up, or, you know, you were giving me, like, very butchered sign language, and but I picked up what you were putting down because I was like, okay, something's going on over there, but we're going to keep going. And Joe Dante is one of those guys who doesn't get enough credit for the what he's given the film community, the entertainment community over the past 40 years. You know, this is a guy who has, besides Gremlins, it's The Burbs is one of the funniest, like, dark comedies of
Sardine.
Time. Yeah, right. Inner Space is a personal favorite, but the Howling is like on the top horror list for so many horror fans. They say it's one of the best werewolf movies, and I totally agree with that.
Aside from Teen Wolf 2.
Teen Wolf 2. Check out our Teen Wolf 2 35th anniversary episode. It's really great. But, you know, for everybody that didn't get a chance to be there, you got a pristine recording. Thank you for doing that, and you can check that out on a future episode. But man, it was fun. And I get to do it with my friends. Like, I've always wanted to do this. And I think I used to be where I was sitting in the audience going, man, I want to do that. It wasn't I was sitting there going, I could do better than that. It was more like, I want to do this.
You just do it.
And it was so much fun. And I'm very grateful. I'm just very grateful. A lot of gratitude. A lot of gratitude.
Well, thank you for putting glaze on my donut.
You're welcome.
No, did you guys, wait, did you all check, like, catch his main stage panels? Jonathan's? Anybody?
No, because we were working.
I did.
Yay, me too.
Garrett did.
He's just such a, yeah, he's such a natural, isn't he? You and your birthday's tomorrow too. I have to tell everyone that. So make sure and tell him happy birthday.
And it was a year ago that you guys got engaged.
It was a year ago today.
He popped the question.
Yeah, that's true.
It came up on my Facebook timeline.
She said yes.
I'm always amazed when I see what you can do. So I'm paying you a compliment. I'm always amazed at when I see what you can do. I think that you can do even more than you realize, and look at this beautiful community you've created. Yeah. And I'm announcing a Dweeb Darlings and Geekscape merger.
Well, we merged.
To Darlingscape.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just kidding. But
I don't know. I got to tell you, the main stage panels are always fun. It's good to see who's in the green room and like who's hanging out. I don't love hanging there because I feel like I'm just there to do the main stage panels and come back. But it's cool. Like this morning, I thought that my panel was at 11, and I showed up, at 9:45 or 10, and I'm sitting back there, and I'm expecting Amy Jo Johnson to come in, and we can go over some of the topics. And obviously, the Jason David Frank death is very recent, and she's emotional about it. So I'm just like, okay, like I really want to run some of the questions past her and topics past her. And little did I know the panel was actually at like 12:30. I didn't have to be there that early. But as I'm sitting there, Rob Paulsen, who's an amazing voice actor, comes in, and I get to catch up with him. He had been on Geekscape. And then he and I are the only people in the room until William Shatner walks in and just, out of all the empty tables in the green room, decides to sit at mine. And I'm like, all right. And he just has his cup of coffee and his phone, and he's like, I'm across the table from William Shatner. I really want to pull my phone out and take a picture of this because this is ridiculous. I text Ian Kerner and Justin. And I'm like, William Shatner, for no reason, just came and sat at my table. I don't know why. There are empty tables here. And his entourage comes in because they're about to all do the stage together. And he goes, hey, welcome to my table. And I said, actually, Bill, this is my table. You sat at my table. And he goes, and they're like, well, it's the captain's table now. And I go, it was the captain's table then too, baby. And I said, because I wanted this damn picture. I said, let's take a picture of the captain's table. Yeah. And I take my phone out, and I'm like, let's take a selfie. And I turn around. Our friend Tiffany's moderator is doing a lot of the main stage introduction. She jumps in. People are wanting to jump into this selfie. We take it. Everybody's beaming, except Bill Shatner. Bill's like looking down like, this existence. And I was like, oh man, poor 90-year-old dude. He wanted Elon to take him to space and keep him there. I don't know what the deal was.
I'm sorry, but that existence is what got him to the game. So
the picture is amazing
because like Tiffany's like, can you send me the picture with Shatner? And I go,
that's awesome.
About that picture. And I show it to her, and she's right behind Shatner's head, beaming, and Shatner's just like, pray for death.
Like, that interaction sounds like it would have been better in Star Trek Generations.
Yeah, that's the death he wanted in Star Trek Generations.
He wanted the Nexus to come in.
The other person who's like hanging out back there, Steve Glickman brought Billy Zane to the con. Like,
he's a
just
cool dude.
Randomly brought, like,
I loved him in Phantoms.
Just randomly Phantom. Brought Phantom. Billy Zane to the con, and so. I saw Billy Zane like Friday night was at Steve Glickman's thing, and Steve kind of does what I do. He does the moderation and the stuff. And so Billy Zane, to like get away from the booth, just goes into the green room and sits down. And yesterday I see him, and he has this massive like Jimmy John's
Jersey Mike's.
He's got this massive like Jersey Mike's
don't
sandwich.
Say Jimmy John's. Jimmy yeah. John's is not a
no. Billy Zane does not support poaching elephants. Yeah. So he has this giant Jersey Mike's sandwich. I don't know what to say to Billy Zane, but I want to talk to Billy Zane because he's the Phantom. And I was like, awesome, you got a sandwich. Where'd you get that from? And he goes, I brought it from Pasadena. And I was like, good talk.
You should have just waited for me because he taught a class I took a few years ago and like, I've seen him before, and just whenever I see him, I'm like, oh, hey, you taught that Jeremiah Comey class that I was in one time. It was really fun, and then it starts the conversation. And so I did that. I talked to him a little bit today about that.
What's interesting about that class was your scene partner,
Ethan Peck,
who's on Strange New Worlds as Spock.
Spock, yeah.
And like, it's all kind of...
It was cool.
Like,
wow.
Comic-Con is freaking weird.
Well, and then yesterday, I'm, like, hanging out back there waiting for you, and I see these people come in, but I'm like, whatever. It's, like, some little guy and, like, his friends and everything, and I turn around, and I'm like, oh, my God, Elijah Wood. Okay.
He's back literally a little guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, I was too shy. I was too shy to say anything to him. But it was cool. He was
doing a panel with Sean Astin. Sean had been on Geekscape. You know this Geekscape. Let's go back in the catalog. And I got to catch up with Sean and be like, dude, come back on the show.
Come back on $2 late fee.
We'll rock. Yeah, I'd love to get him on $2 late fee.
Yeah, you should.
But today I was like, I saw Billy Zane hanging out. Billy Zane was wearing like this freaking... What would you call this, sweetie? Like,
he was wearing like a cowboy hat, and then I don't know what color shirt, but his pants were like bright pink or orange, and then really shiny patent black shoe, like high top. I don't know if they were Air Jordans or what they were, but like I was like, I like your pants. And then I was like, you taught this class. Like I just did. That's my Billy Zane line. Whenever I see Billy Zane, last time I saw him was like 2018 at Magic Castle. Hey, the class you taught at the, you know, that's just always.
Wait, he taught a class at the Magic Castle?
No, he taught an acting class, but he talked their ear off at the Magic Castle.
Oh, gotcha.
Real
okay.
Story.
I didn't.
Because that would be even better.
He was holding court at the Magic Castle, but everybody was loving it.
But Billy Zane's wearing like this. I don't even know how to describe this outfit. Yes, the pink pants.
It was nice.
The cowboy hat.
I thought it looked good.
It was cool. It had its own distinct style, but I'm like, all right, I want Geekscapers. Don't think I'm ever not hustling for y'all. I'm trying to get Billy Zane on the podcast.
Yeah. So I talk about critters.
So I was like,
oh, right.
I was like, hey, Billy. I was like, Billy, like, I'm friends with Steve Glickman. Like, I'd love to have you on the show sometime. I'd love to have you on podcast. It's Geekscape.
He stared at me
like, he's like, oh, I was like, hey, Billy, I'd love to have you on my alien spaceship to probe you. And if you don't mind, I'd like to take out some of your organs. He would seem so disinterested, well, maybe even horrified at the concept of coming on Geekscape.
Well, I'm like, I just said to him, if you want, there's no pressure. Yeah. But,
no, there's pressure, Billy.
And
you hear me, Zane? Well, there's pressure.
We had just talked to Will Wheaton, who we actually know fairly well.
Like, coming for your kidney, Zane.
But Will was going on stage, and we're just name dropping like crazy. It's really fun, though.
No, this is fun.
But we were talking to Will Wheaton.
They're not listening anymore.
Wait, did you just say Will Wheaton?
Will Wheaton, and he was just excited that we got married and all this stuff. And we were talking to him. He's just written a book, and Jonathan was like, "Yeah, I'd love to have you come on the podcast." And he kind of did the same. He didn't. I think they were like afraid to say yes because then they have to do it. Yeah. So they probably have to check with their PR people, or I don't know.
Will doesn't have to come on Geekscape. Will, you do not have to come on Geekscape. I'll see you down the road.
He'll come on $2 late fee.
I know that. That's what I was gonna say.
Billy Zane, you got to come on Geekscape.
And $2 late fee. He does reply to my emails, so let me see if I can.
Well, I have to tell
you.
I have to thank you. I appreciate it. You have to tell you a quick Billy Zane story. So this guy, Bob Lindemeyer, who is making this Megaforce documentary, big Billy Zane fan, met Billy Zane yesterday, paid his $80 for his photo op and autograph, and then asked Billy Zane if he could borrow his Sharpie. And Billy's like, why? He goes, because I want to draw a phantom ring on my finger so I can do a phantom pose. And Billy goes, oh, I'll draw that for you. So he spent 10 minutes drawing the phantom ring, getting the shading right on Bob's finger. He still had it on his finger.
He's an artist, man.
Yeah. He just discovered that today. It's like paintings that he was supposed to go to some.
That's pretty cool.
He's like, I was going to go to this art convention, but the weather. I was like, this is my backyard.
Did Billy ask for another $80 for the artwork?
No.
I would have given it to him if it was made.
Yeah. I told him. That's what I said.
What he's got to do is carve his skin off and keep that thing. He's got to desiccate it. He's got to do that. I want to ask people in the audience as well, because I saw one of my favorite people, Josh audience. Jackson.
I know. I saw him.
Joshua Jackson?
Wait, from Dawson's Creek?
No.
With his frosted tips?
Oh, my God. That poor guy has to deal with that joke every time.
We crossed the street together when I was getting... We were on the same metro.
Geekscape Games' own Josh Jackson is here, and he was on the panel last year. He can be on the panel right now. I want to ask people like what the cool things are that y'all have experienced, like what are the surprises are, if you bought anything, what's your favorite cosplay? Like, bring some of the listeners to the people in the panel room. Like, bring them into the convention. That goes for everyone hearing my voice right now. Josh, have you been here for a while?
Yeah.
Come up here. Come up here. Josh Jackson. Megan can come too. I'm going to. You want to come up and sit where Dustin and Zach are?
Yeah, I'm.
If you want, unless we want to hear about Megaforce again.
Come on. Come on.
The audience is like, you know what? I'll subscribe, David.
You guys don't know. If you've seen Megaforce, you know how great it is. If you haven't, you know what's up.
Yeah, all right. So, Josh, speaking of the mic, tell us what you and Megan have experienced.
You don't want to come up, Megan?
Spent a lot of money.
Oh, what did you do?
What did we do? Bought a lot of chocolate. Did you see the comic book themed chocolate that they had?
Where?
No.
The booth called? I don't know. It's escaping me. But yeah, they had like.
Did you buy some too?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I saw people like 3D printing cotton candy into like Pokemon shapes.
I missed that.
What is it called? Copper Coast?
They didn't pay our ads. No.
No.
We don't promote them.
No, oh, there it is. No. You want to walk it up real quick?
Copper Coast, yeah, that's what you.
And what do they do? They like make Pokemon themed part.
Well, they had like fudge. They had
Avengers themed fudge too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if they're like, these are the characters' crap, and now you can eat it?
Well, that's what drew us to the booth.
Here's Blastoise's turn.
Right. But this is like an anime box that we got, so it's like has some like Demon Slayer.
Did you already
eat
your way through one of these boxes?
No. These are presents. But I ate mine already.
Was it any good?
Yeah, it was good. They had Megan got some like Naruto one, and I got Black Panther, Captain America stuff. So
I gotta tell you, like, Josh is my favorite part of the Geekscape Games podcast. Sorry, Shane, because he comes on and he talks so understated about stuff that he's actually excited about, and I'm like, I know Josh is excited about it. He just doesn't act like he's excited about anything. But you know he's excited about it because he'll play every chapter of like a 13-chapter game that's been going on for like 20 years. And even if it stinks, he'll still play that chapter just to get the story. What beyond the chocolate, like what are some of the things that you've experienced? Or maybe like what's some of your favorite cosplay you saw, et cetera?
We usually just kind of collect the anime cosplayers and stuff. So I saw Chun-Li outside just before we came here. That was pretty cool. There was a really detailed, like, Dr. Octopus we saw walking around with the arms and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, like, a lot. There was this really detailed Black Panther walking around. We saw a Star-Lord T'Challa when we first got here.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and he had, like, with the light-up helmet and everything. Awesome. Yeah, that was cool.
And Garrett and I almost got run over by a damn Transformer walking through, like... Did you see that? Yeah, Heidi saw it. Like, this guy...
The mashup Transformer?
No, there was a Transformer. A guy in a giant Transformer. He may have been 13, 14 feet tall, just walking floor.
Yeah.
Stilton, then some. It was a total Transformer.
Awesome.
I was like, this is amazing.
My question was, how does he get in? Does he come in like that, or does he bring the pieces?
He transforms and drives away.
Does he bring the pieces inside and then put them on, or, you know, I should have stopped
what
him.
What Transformer was he?
Oh, good question.
Dude, did you recognize him? It was just an
It was a Bumblebee?
I was talking about that red one that walked past
yeah,
us,
it was red.
And I was like, it didn't even feel like it was canon. Could have been a GoBots, because James Gunn just gave the GoBots a little bit of a pop in the holiday special, but I'm amazed by these cosplayers and the time it takes. Put all this stuff in.
One I just remembered, too, was the mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas. But he had, like, the spinning head, so it had both sides. And the that was, like, taller than a lot of the booths in the exhibit hall.
That's incredible.
So, yeah. That was probably the coolest one I saw.
Did y'all buy anything that was good besides Pokemon chocolate? Besides Pokemon Poketurd chocolates?
Well, saying that's gross.
I thought we got the last Inuyasha figure we were missing, but then I looked online to compare prices and saw they released two new ones. So
that might be the most Josh Jackson sentence I've ever heard in my entire life. I love it. Christian, you bought some.
Yeah,
stuff.
The most on-brand thing I did was buy some Chris Claremont, John Byrne X-Men comics that I don't need, but I've... For years, I've been working backwards, you know, from like, oh, let me just get one more. And, you know, once I got to Uncanny X-Men 137, the death of Dark Phoenix, I was like, I'll probably stop there. But I haven't. And so I think I got back to like 122. What I really want, I probably would stop if I would get – I want the first Kitty Pryde, first Dazzler. And they're just out of my price range. I was just like, I'm not spending $700 on either of those.
Even though they're like rehabilitating downtown LA, I'm sure a couple blocks away there's somebody doing heroin and be like, I'll just stop here.
Yeah.
They have no intention of stopping here, and neither do you.
No,
you're an addict,
I mean,
son.
I can't possibly go earlier than 94 because I don't want the reprint issues, you know? So it's okay. Like, I can't go further back than that. But I did see something crazy, which was, you know, for the Star Wars comics, there was the adaptation of Empire Strikes Back.
The Marvel ones.
The Marvel, yeah. So this is from 1980.
Yeah.
So Star Wars number 44 is apparently the first appearance of Boba Fett. And
right.
It was a CGC graded 9.4 for $1,000. And I was like, but it's just the first time he's in a comic, you know? And I was just like, I guess because it's still there means nobody's going to spend $1,000 on it. But that was the most outlandish item that I personally saw.
I think those Archie Goodwin Star Wars comics, the ones that they did with Marvel, or really the ones that they did for the newspaper strips.
Yeah.
That's my between New Hope, Empire, canon.
Yeah, like, no, Dark Horse collected those strips in like the early
amazing.
90s. Yeah, and it's great. And they did a little bit of new artwork to fill them in. But yeah, the adaptation for Empire and Return of the Jedi, those are both them, and they're fantastic. The Star Wars adaptation is not as good.
Right. But if you can find that Dark Horse reprint of the original comic strips, or newspaper strips,
yeah.
Of Star Wars, they feel like Flash Gordon-y. They still have like the Star Wars influences that I think were Lucas's influences, were like the sci-fi serials of the 1950s, and it feels like Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars before it became like a giant merchandising franchise, even more so than it already was. You know what I mean? And so that was I'd be excited to read those again. I know I have them, but.
You could go downstairs and get something for $1,000, but it's slabbed, so you actually wouldn't be able to read it.
Can't even open it.
Yeah,
nah,
exactly.
I'm not going to do that. Alan Dukes, we were talking on the podcast panel. I'm going to make you leave your seat and come up and talk to me. Because, Alan, we added you to the podcast panel, and then I'm driving around, I think, on Friday, and Jade, who programs the main stage stuff here at Comic-Con, I missed a call from her, and I was like, oh, no, maybe LeVar canceled or something. You know, I really want to do that panel. And then turns out she actually wanted me to, like, host another panel. And I couldn't do it because it was at 1 o'clock in the West Hall. I was finishing up 12:30 to 1 in the South Hall. And it was also about Dragon Ball Z, and I would have been terrible at it. But I knew a guy who I think from social media loved Dragon Ball Z, and he already had a pass because he was on my panel, and that man was Alan Dukes. I called him up and I said, "Dude, you got a main stage panel now in the gaming hall, if you'll take it."
It's one of those things where I'm just like, nah, because I have been watching Dragon Ball since like the late 90s. And so when Jonathan called me up, I'm like, he's got the wrong number, but he said my name. So yeah, and I thought to myself, well, I gave Jonathan like all these quick excuses why, like, I don't know if I'm your guy.
He's like, I haven't watched the last 8 episodes. I was like, what? What? That's your reason for not meeting the voice cast of Dragon Ball Z?
And then it occurs to me, I'm wearing a Dragon Ball T-shirt when he calls me, and I'm like, oh, yeah,
I guess he was wearing. Sorry.
Yeah.
So How did it go?
It was amazing. It's like one of those moments where you like line up all the cool moments in your life, and it's like, well, I got married, and then I hosted or moderated the panel for Dragon Ball. So my wife gets, you know, she gets top billing, and then it's the cast or the voice actors of Dragon Ball. So
for real, man, that's how high up that opportunity was for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's amazing.
It's
I got one of the extras from Rad for the $2 late fee guys, but I canceled it. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
And this is what an indication of what a great guy Jonathan is, because I don't know anything about Dragon Ball Z either, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take that panel. Even if I knew you, I'm like, no. I want the stage time.
It's
so
mine.
You're much better than I am.
I wanted to kill Christian Blatt, so I threw a microphone in the middle of busy traffic. I was like, he's going to go for it. He's going to go for it. Christian's going to go for it. He won't. Look, he's taking the mic right now.
But I had to live stream it while I was going after the microphone. So I needed a second to go after it.
So, Alan, I had not heard how the panel went. I'm glad, but I knew. And I told Jade, I was like, I got somebody for you. And I know they're not going to let you down. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it was one of those things where you just go for it. So I did all my research. And I'm like, okay, Sean Schimmel. okay. And it's like, Sonny Straight. And I'm like, okay, Damon. It's, you know, you get up there and it's like you're talking to them and you just remember everything that you love about the show. So it just becomes this natural conversation. I actually called Joe's son, or I called Joe and I'm like, hey, you got any questions? And his son had this great question. And I'm like, wow, that's better than any question I have. So, you know, I got to text Joe and say, like, tell your son his question was in the panel.
What was the question?
What was the question? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. We can go deep. This is Geekscape.
Okay. Come on. Awesome. So, Dragon Ball fans. So, Krillin is, he's like a character that is powerful for a human, but he's not that powerful compared to all the Saiyans. So, in the Dragon Ball, the newest movie called Dragon Ball Super Hero, he, once again, didn't have an opportunity to be a great fighter, but his wife is this awesome fighter, Android 18. So 18 starting to fail. She's fighting Cell, and he basically gets her pumped up. And because of that, she's able to turn the tide and moves everything forward. So my question for Sonny Straight was like, okay, that was your moment. Now, Krillin's not always seen as like the strongest character, but he turned the tide for the entire film. How did you feel at that moment? You know, so Sonny's response was just, well, it's about time that Krillin was useful for something.
That one goes over my head, but I'm the host of this game. But Josh Jackson was like,
oh, no, yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Here we go. And Josh, if I'd known that you were attending, like, if you guys are interested in doing that stuff, like, I get hit up for that stuff. And not you, Christian. If you guys ever want to, like, host that stuff, like, I think that's fun. It's fun to see people succeed and like meet people that are influential to them and they're excited to meet. I love that stuff. And
yeah. So, you know, when Jonathan talks about, you know, having a community and you know, Geekscape be more than just, you know, a single guy doing a single podcast, this is a perfect example because last year I'm sitting there and it's me and Joe and out in the audience and we're like, dude, this is so cool. Jonathan's so much funnier in person, right? Aww. But just that.
The looks add a lot of the humor. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like, but that one interaction became more than just like, hey, you know what? This guy wanted to shake my hand and now we're done. You know, Jonathan stayed in touch and, you know, we've developed a relationship. And when he saw an opportunity for me, it's like, hey, here's your chance. So thanks, Jonathan.
You hear that, Billy Zane? Give me more than just a handshake, buddy.
We love Billy.
I love Billy.
I bet the voice actors probably appreciated somebody who really knew it. You know, I mean, Jonathan, how many times do you interview somebody and they're just like, oh, my God, you read the book or, oh, yeah, you watched the movie? That's all you have to do. And a lot of times, you know, the people haven't. And they're like, oh, you can actually understand. You understand my work. And it sounds like you went deeper than probably even they did, you know. But yeah. but they could keep up, so it sounds like it was fun.
Well, Josh and Garrett, and you guys know, like, if somebody wants to be a part of Geekscape and wants to be on the main podcast, and let's say it's a horror movie or something that might be better suited for something else on the network, we now have close to 30 shows, you know, that they all sorts of topics that go much deeper than mine, like, Josh is an expert in so many different video games. He should be the person doing that interview. And I think that makes, selfishly, that makes me look good because I'm able to satisfy whatever people want to work with Geekscape. And it also doesn't make me look bad because I'm not sitting there going, remember that time that I have no idea what I'm asking right now. And I don't, because I've been in those situations very early on in Geekscape. Where it's not that I didn't care. I didn't know. I wasn't that good at it. I couldn't just talk to anybody. But it's been cool having you all here. And Garrett just knocked a panel out of the park with the adaptations panel.
Yeah.
And he recorded it. I don't know which iteration of his podcast he's going to release it on because it seems like every other week he emails Matt and I was like, I got another idea for a podcast. I didn't really like that last one. Let's start one. And so now we have all these weird, like, orphan feeds that are like start and stops with Garrett, but we should just use the same feed. And yeah, you're going to get that Art of Adaptation panel on that one sooner or later. But it's cool.
Can we talk about not so much the panel itself, but he was able to handle a presence in that room that might not have been easy to do a panel with. There was a Joker cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
And when you cosplay the Joker, you don't just dress up as him. you need to live the part. And, you know, he did calm down after a little bit, but it was a lot of like,
you know, Batman came up and he's like, well, obviously everyone's expecting me to interact with the panel now because Batman came up. And you did great with it because I probably would not have handled it as well.
Ashley Robinson said it on the podcast panel yesterday. She's like, Jonathan coined this term, hot topic heroes. And it mainly means like, I'm going to dress up in this cosplay that's super popular and hot topic, and I'm going to make the convention about me. And remember, it used to be V for Vendetta, and then it was Ledger Joker, and then Deadpool, of course. And it's just like, we're going to go and just be obnoxious on the Com 4 and in the panel rooms and like make it super loud. And it's like,
he's kind of heckly a little bit.
He was very heckly. Very heckly. Like, no.
And I think he was putting on like a faux British accent. Fake British. Well. Which just, I wasn't sure. I was like, does Joker have it?
Just pick a Joker.
I don't know.
Just pick a Joker.
I don't know, but I think he was friends with like Caitlin and Kevin.
No, he struck up a conversation with Alexa, who plays her Rogue, and Charlie.
So they met.
Nice enough guy, but I'm definitely texting Christian throughout, being like,
"Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to mention that part, but yes, we were texting during it. We were listening.
Sorry,
loved Gary, the panel. It was great.
We were giving each other.
The panel was fantastic. Yeah. We were definitely texting like."
Yeah, you and me were giving each other side eyes.
Not a Joker in the panel, which is great. And it just happens. What's been a part of the con where, you know, this is, you know, we're still kind of in a pandemic, getting out of it. Comic-Con was weird this summer. I've been describing San Diego Comic-Con as having a weird energy, like people were still kind of feral from the pandemic. I've heard people talk about it here. See, at LA Comic Con, have y'all had situations where LA Comic Con where it's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's not my favorite part of LA Comic Con. Have there been some lows with the highs?
I mean, it wasn't really a low for me, but I think you and I were talking yesterday. It was so much more crowded than any year yesterday, Saturday. Mm. There were so many people here, and I think it was just, you know, people who, one, haven't been to a con in a while. Maybe people who back in August or July were like, well, I'm not ready to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And then they've had like 3 months where they're like, why didn't I go to San Diego Comic-Con? So I think – and it's all right. I've been to concerts. I've been to stuff where there are a lot of people. But it was more people than I expected for sure, you know.
I think today was a testament to L.A. because people don't like the rain, and it was raining today.
Yeah, they're all indoors.
They're not like me who loves it, but I'm not from here. But like, people don't like to go out in the rain, so it wasn't as crowded today, right? Like,
yesterday was crowded, and Friday night was crowded. Comic-Con L.A. tried this thing this year where they were like, we're going to have the floor open from 4 to 9 on a Friday night. I was like, oh, that's going to be a breeze. I'll go down there. I'll pick up my badges, walk the floor because there won't be anybody. It was super packed, awesome, and it was my night to like catch up with some people. I saw Tony Rodriguez, who drew the Super Action Man cover, and is a friend, and has moved out of L.A., so I don't see him a lot anymore. But we shared Tyrese Gibson stories because he did the Mayhem comic for Tyrese and had to work with Tyrese, and I've heard some amazingly insane Tyrese stories, so it's always good to catch up with Toad and share Tyrese stories that will probably never be shared on the podcast because there's no way I can do that. But no, it was cool. It's been cool catching up with people and meeting new friends. That's what LA Comic Con's about, and it feels like my hometown festival. It feels like the home court advantage hometown festival for us.
I will say, too, when my son was younger, he was a huge He-Man fan, and we used to cosplay as He-Man and Battle Cat and Man-at-Arms, and I got my wife into it to be sorceress.
Wait, he'd be He-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go,
you dress as Battle Cat and your kid would ride around on you?
I was Battle Cat and he rode on my back. Actually, if you go, if you watch The Toys That Made Us, the He-Man episode, we're at the tail end of it, right at the end, at PowerCon. And it was
Heidi and I do that too.
I was talked into I was talked into being on. Well, as you should. This is a healthy thing. I'm sure your therapist recommended that, right?
Oh my god! That's
and so I haven't cosplayed in years. I haven't been to a con in years, and so this is my first exposure to a con. Well, I went last year thanks to Diallo, and that's how we met, right? But overall, with the exception of that crazy Joker guy, sounds like, what a kook. But seriously, like, it's been so great to see everybody just taking it all in and happy. So many smiling faces, like, across the board, and people cosplaying. So amazing, some of the cosplay, like, some of them that you mentioned, and I marveled at some of these people's outfits. That's the, like, the spirit, the energy is very palpable you know? And it's so positive overall. Overall. Yeah, there's the random people walking by and you're like, oh, it's seasonal allergies. And you're like, okay, that doesn't sound seasonal to me, but whatever. But aside from that,
a season of COVID.
Right. And then, you know, obviously getting the logistics, as Jonathan very well knows, can be very tricky when you are doing a panel or getting talent on. But the energy's positive. Had so many interactions with random people. This one woman was cosplaying from A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like,
she was in your panel.
Yeah.
She was
and out turns there. Out she plays on a 1920s baseball league. And has a mitt signed by the original women from that played in that team
what?
From back in
wow.
the day. Showed it to me. Yeah, and then she cosplays as Ducky from Pretty in Pink. And she's like, that's her big following on Instagram and TikTok. She dresses up as Ducky and does all these like videos. But, I mean, she was like, I was so nervous to approach you guys, but I'm a really big fan of the show, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? That made my day. You know, Joe Dante obviously made my day too, but you know, that was like another amazing moment. So
that's incredible. And it feels like LA Comic Con is the place where you can do those things.
Yeah, it's like you're accepted for who you are, and I know this is the one time a year people get to do this.
Yeah, you hear that, Billy Zane? We accept you, and you're welcome.
And your pink pants and your cowboy hat.
Anytime, pink pants, cowboy hat, whatever you want to wear. You know, go get some sandwiches. Let's just meet over it and then talk.
Get
if you
some Jimmy John's.
Podcast.
You're gonna have to go to the Jimmy John's in Pasadena,
no,
though.
No Jimmy John's. No.
Don't go to any
of
the other
Jersey
ones.
Mike's. Get some sandwiches. Talk it over.
Get some pillows from the Pillow King.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
See the therapist.
We're just gonna talk. Billy Zane, you're welcome on Geekscape anytime you want. What if he's just walking past and he's like, all right, wait. I remember on the Geekscape 400, Casper Van Dien, who I didn't know as well as I know him now, he went to Geekscape 400 with Jenny, and he was like yelling stuff out from the audience. And I was like, we'll get you on the podcast soon. And he goes, how about now? And he just crashed the couch and the mic and came on. And Casper and I have been pretty good friends. Like,
well, he was at your wedding.
Then. Yeah, he was at the wedding.
Yeah, his wife was one of my brides, Faye.
But Josh Jackson was also at the wedding.
Yeah, somewhere.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
By the way, you, Josh Jackson, 10 times better than the original Josh Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
How much Inuasha did, or whatever, do you think Josh Jackson from Dawson's Creek could talk about? That's how I gauge him.
No, that's what I'll always hold over him.
Yeah. It's like, how many personas do you think he's played through? 17 times.
Right. It just came to Game Pass, too. We're going to make it 18 soon.
How many Japanese imports do you think Josh Jackson from Dawson's Creek has got? It's amazing. Well, I don't even know if this is the kind of panel we throw to an audience. I'm really just recording a wrap-up for the podcast network for the thing. But if there's anybody in the audience who's like, what the hell is this? You can feel free to ask this or throw out your story about LA Comic Con, like how the weekend was. Tell us a story from the weekend and how things were. But like the same way that I got to meet Joey and Alan last year, maybe there's somebody here who's like, I got a crazy story. Parking was this, or I walked down here, or I got to meet this creator. If anybody in the audience has a cool story, you feel free to
any run-ins with Joker cosplay?
Any run-ins with the Joker?
Or is he here in his normal outfit?
Oh, that'd be mildly embarrassing.
And entertaining.
He was sitting next to a Harley Quinn, too. So, you know, couples, goals.
I think he's got a comment or question.
What's your name and what is your story, sir? Oh, come on up.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't I just hand him the mic?
Come on up. No, come on up. And then next year you can do a main stage panel.
Don't make him. He does not want to.
I would walk this over to you, but the cord's not long.
No, this guy is ready for the main stage.
Yeah.
He's the man. Please have a seat. What is your name? First off, meet Josh Jackson.
All right, sure thing. So, yeah, I am Sarah Shibarita. Oh,
awesome.
All right, I'm Sarah Shibarita, and yesterday somebody did a hit and run on my car.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, how's that for a con story? Right.
While you were in it or you're parked?
No. I was parked on a parking meter on the street. So if, like while I was
gross.
Attending the con, so it was like a 4-hour parking spot. So and so I guess they figured they decided they didn't want to pay for the damages for my car. So I mean yeah.
Did you hear a Joker laugh as he was driving away? I think I know who did it.
You know what? Now that you mention it, yes, I did hear a Joker laugh
how
in the distance.
Was,
so, yeah.
How bad was the damage?
It was it ended up with like the the front like bumper of the car and stuff just like hanging out, as well as the grill. Like so no parts actually like fell out and stuff.
You can drive it.
Yeah, it's still drivable. Like I just need to like temporarily patch it up with like what are named those
zip
like
ties
and stuff? Zip ties. Yeah, like where you just make a loop around the parts, and so yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. Insurance hopefully won't dent too much, but man, the Joker strikes again.
Yeah, right. I mean, and here I was like trying to figure out or find evidence of like who did it. So yeah.
Right. That's what brought you into the Geekscape panel room. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
That Christian Blatt guy, we gotta check his license.
But
I did not park in the structure here, so maybe it was me. We don't know.
Right? Yeah. So, but for actual con stories stuff or like things resembling that stuff, I just attended the Jimmy Neutron panel, so the 20th anniversary one yesterday, where they just did like a little live reenactment of like one of the episodes. So that was pretty fun. So especially when they acknowledged the memes and so, and just like really emphasizing that, just like shilling themselves like over it. So, but no, not
the
really.
Whole cast is there. The whole cast and
not the entire cast. So, but just just like those who could come and stuff. Like most of like the very notable like main characters and all that. So that was pretty fun. If you're a millennial like me and stuff, who grew up with that show and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. So, and then yesterday was pretty crazy because like there was like a whole bunch of like panels, like, or three of them like in a row back to back and stuff in like the main like stage of South Hall and stuff. So right after that there was the one with I think it was like Tom Kenny and stuff from SpongeBob. So he was just like coming in like doing his thing and stuff. Then after that it was like Steve Burns, like who did like Blue's Clues and stuff. So
yeah, he moderated that. He
was
That was right. That was like
him.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I don't know why I thought you were somebody else stuff like that day, but like yeah.
You know what? Amy Jo Johnson said something, and she's like, she like stopped for me to say something. I'm like, they're not here for me.
Oh yeah.
You weren't there for me. You were there for Steve. But Steve is such a cool dude, and he was in our friend Tommy Avalone's documentary that's out right now on Barney. He's got this Barney documentary that's. And he interviewed Steve for it, so he texted me and was like, dude, when you see Steve, say hi. And Steve has just been such a nice dude. We started following each other on Instagram, and we're just like, dude, great job, da-da-da-da. Like, what a nice guy, and it's amazing. I got all the educators yesterday. I got Steve, and then I got LeVar.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know, something I like about, like, Steve itself, like, as somebody who was one of those, like, little kids that watched, like, Blue's Clues stuff, I mean, yeah, he just has that very, like, homey feel to him. So, like, he is, like, very much, like, an introvert, stuff, as I've seen, like, with him in, like, regular interviews and stuff. But at the same time, he just has this, like, wholesome nature to him. So I guess it's the best way to describe it, but yeah.
That's like LeVar for us.
Yeah, LeVar was kind of our generation of person who was like, let me teach you to read, and let me do these things. And
let me just talk to you in this very soothing voice. Yeah. And, like, you're very smart.
I was most nervous for LeVar, but I knew Steve would be nice.
Oh, yeah. So, like, was it true that, like, you just were trying to make yourself a pizza and stuff when he told you that, like, if you put your mind to it, you could do anything?
If you guys will hear it on the feed, the story that Steve said, and I asked Steve, I said, like, what's a memorable interaction you had with a kid who wrote you or anything, and I'm going to put the conversation up on the Geekscape feed, but he said, this one kid said, my dream is to become a pizza, and I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I got this letter from a little kid who says, my dream would be a pizza, so I responded, like, you could do anything you want to be, and I go, you still, like, you remember that kid? He goes, yeah, his name was Jonathan, and I was like, of course I have to take that bait, and I was like, well, I always remembered your advice, and that is enough for a cheap laugh, but it's fun. It's fun looking for those opportunities because I never know what their stories are, you know, and I love doing that stuff.
I mean, hey, if you're a pizza, everybody will love you, so I mean,
yeah,
like, who could blame you?
Yeah, and unless you're lactose intolerant.
Then. Oh, well, oh. I mean.
you still love it. You just pay the price for loving Jonathan.
Well, you can't
point.
Please everybody, can you?
No. Dude, it was nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah,
how do you feel about
you.
Doing
I
a
mean,
main stage panel next year?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So, And yeah, I'm not parking on the street again, that's for sure. So,
yeah. I love how Billy Zane's like, what? I had to park somewhere, man. I had to go get my pizza. I got my sandwich. I'll just park here. What's a bumper, man? I'm going to eat myself my Jersey Mike's. Billy, I know you didn't hit the car, Billy. Please come on Geekscape. Please. Please. Yeah. And then go on $2 late fee.
Yeah. Hey, you just owe a few $1,000, right. That's all. So.
And you owe this kid, you owe this dude $1,000 for his bumper. All right. Heidi's like, I want to go to dinner.
That's no. Not it. It's just that the con's closed. It's 5:02.
The con is closed, folks. Yeah. We closed the con down. Josh can no longer go down on the floor and buy anime stuff and food based on anime anyway. Stuff. But listen, I just want to say, like, this is another fun year in the hometown festival, LA Comic Con, man. It just feels good doing this con because it's just like backyard. You get to do whatever I want. And everybody's super nice here. It just,
you're the mayor of Comic-Con. I was called the mayor of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. And now you're Miss Mayor.
My mayor's wife?
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Well, there were a couple times.
I have to have my own identity, okay. Too, though.
All right. You're going to do the main stage in the gaming
In the gaming?
In the gaming
no.
hall next year?
No,
yeah,
no,
okay,
no,
well.
No, no.
Well, then it's Alan, Josh, and
no,
not
you're,
Christian.
One day you're going to interview me on the main stage panel as talent.
Okay, there we go. There we go. That says the lady who I first met when she was signing at my booth here at Comic-Con, so that all
that's
makes
true.
Sense.
Yeah, that's true. I signed at your booth. Yeah.
And now you're manifesting interviewing you on the main stage.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Well, who knows what next year holds for us, but I know we'll be here. And thank you guys for sitting through Geekscape Live. I just wanted to wrap up the con for those of us on the those of you on the feed who will aren't here with us, and now you know kind of some of the stuff that went and happened on the
they
now you know
him.
Matt what we did, and Garrett did not get arrested, so that's successful for me.
Not yet.
He's gonna go hunt down that Joker though. All right, well thank you so much. I hope that anybody who's new to Geekscape who's listening to this becomes a Geekscapist, subscribes to Geekscape, and if this isn't your deal, well, go search for one of the other podcasts on the Geekscape Network. We have a ton of them, like $2 Late Fee, like Geekscape Book Club, and like Diallo's upcoming podcast talking about the depth of things, all right? Thank you guys so much. And, of course, Geekscape Games, Josh Jackson's Geekscape Games, which I just want to – yeah, Josh Jackson's Geekscape Games, which is what I'm going to rename it. But that just means you, and it was the best episode, but you and your wife, Megan, doing the podcast by yourself was the best episode. I'm just going to say that right now. So you can find it on the feed.
All right, yeah. I'll keep that to myself. Thank you, though.
I didn't. All right, Geekscape, we'll talk to you next time.
Yay.
Subscribe and share and all that. Don't hate, create. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.